Are we exposed? This is what every security team is wondering. But with vulnerabilities scattered across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos, the truth is out of reach, and attackers know it. There's a better way. Unify to defy risk with Tenable AI-powered exposure management. Tenable brings together all your security data and exposures in one unified view, giving you the attacker's map and revealing the critical paths and weaknesses they can exploit. Now your teams can prioritize intelligently, move decisively, and collaborate without friction. Tenable turns scattered work into a single proactive force. Instead of chasing noise, your team knows where to focus, gaining clarity, control, and speed to reduce cyber risk with confidence. Learn more at tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with all together in studio this morning. Crazy, crazy. We will be at Golden Nugget Lake Charles Monday and Tuesday. We want y'all to come on by. Dell's so excited. Dell, we riding together? Let's ride together there. Okay. Yeah. We'll eat some popcorn or something.
Are you going to wait till Tuesday at noon when my show ends to take me back?
No, you can get shit back.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. So, no, we're not riding together.
Yeah. No, I'll be back by the time your show's over.
I bet. So, no, we're not riding again.
Let's ride together. Me and you.
Now, how am I getting back?
Uber. Something.
Uber?
It's 2026. I'm sure you can.
A 2-hour and 15-minute Uber ride?
Uber. That's it. You can afford it. Let's go.
Can
Uber
I?
Black.
Yeah. You don't have any kids. Okay. Lance, tell them how expensive kids are.
They're not cheap. They're bad investments.
Bad investments. All right.
If you look at kids' investments, they're not good.
The investment improves when they multiply, because you got your granddaughter. Okay, where is she? Papa was waving to her. Okay, she watches. She watches the show. She asked me yesterday, "Will you wave to me?" And I said, "Yes, I will."
She can talk.
Talk.
How old is she?
Oh my gosh, she's 3.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
That's crazy.
What do you mean talk? She's a maniac. She is something. She is so funny. You know, another 30-point game for Durant on a back-to-back.
Yep.
What is he? He's like 48, 52 years old. How old is he?
37,
and he's putting up 30 every night. Every night, dude comes up and just does, and it doesn't matter if it's a back-to-back. The worst schedule in NBA history, and he just continues to put up 30-point nights, do whatever it takes. He is something. 12 of 22. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists. He's just in 31 points to help him win. He was a plus 12. I mean, he is.
That could have been a game. That could have been a game.
Well, it was for a long time.
Until they kicked it in the second half. But that could have been a game that was a gross game with the players who were out. They had guys stepping up off the bench. You know, Jayshon doesn't play a whole lot, but he gave you some minutes. You had Clint Capella, but it was mainly just starters having to just – well, I mean, it's the same thing they always do other than Reed Sheppard, who, you know, got off a lot of shots again. Reed's not afraid to squeeze off shots. He doesn't want to get punched in the face.
No, he's got a little Fred VanVleet thing going on where he's not hitting his layups. He's not hitting – you know, his mid-range, he was 2 for 5, I guess. No, 2 for 7.
He has what he ended up,
2 for 7 inside the three-point line, which is not good. It's just not good.
So in January, he has shot 38.6% from the field and only 34% from three. It's his lowest three-point output. You know, he's been under 40% in every month but November. It was that big November where he was 47.5%. But other than that, he's been 36-4, 38-8, and 34-3.
Yeah.
In January. This is not – Reed's got to shoot better than that, man. Reed's got to be a 40%-plus shooter for the year. He's 39.5% right now, but a lot of that was due to that huge November he had. So, you know, free throw percentage, he's shooting 76. Dude, you got to be 40 and 80. You've got to shoot the ball. And once again, I don't want to make it a Reed too much, but as they're, you know, one of the premium players coming off the bench – he's got to be better. Jabari Smith right now.
Jabari Smith is really not good.
It was a good win. Well, I mean, it was a win you needed to have.
Jabari's shooting 37% this month from the field. Mm-hmm. 28 from three. He's averaging 13.69 free throw percentage. All of these numbers are really, really, really bad. 1.8 assist and 2.1, 1.8 assists and 1.3 turnovers. Mm. Not good. None of Jabari's numbers are good. None. It's really been a rough go of it. He had a nice game against New Orleans. He had a nice game, I guess, against Phoenix. It was okay. But he is he was 5-9 against Detroit. That was fine. 11 points. That's cool. But he, for the most part, man, his shooting percentage is just terrible. It's just awful. He was 5-12 last night. He had 14 points, 2-6 from three. But it is, he's got to be, as you know, and he's an important cog.
Yeah.
The numbers when he's bad versus when he's good are really telling. That said, you know, he's been really bad for the most part, and the Rockets are still winning basketball games. But, and now Alpi, his ankle is gimpy again, and no Steven Adams. Finney Smith couldn't play last night. Tari couldn't play last night.
Well, they're not playing back-to-backs.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't – how many guys – look at this. We went from having a super deep roster to having two guys now who can't play in back-to-backs. Steven Adams, who was another, you know, can't play back-to-back guy, he's out for the year, and now you're dealing with Alpi, so – you can go from very, very deep roster to like, yeah, games like yesterday when you're in a back-to-back and you have to, and you're missing two of your guys off the bench who play, you know, similar roles. That could have been a really tough matchup.
Akoki getting 34 minutes is not ideal. Not ideal.
No, but what are you going to do?
Of course, when Tari comes and Finney Smith come back, you know, then, you know, he's going to get less. But, yeah, it's
you have to do it. I mean, there's no more double big lineups. You're not going to see the Steven Adams Alpi thing anymore. So you don't have other options.
So do you have Shams ready? Dell, you got Shams ready? So you know, the trade deadline is coming up, and there's a lot of talk about the Rockets. They're not getting Giannis, okay? That we established yesterday. We heard, who was it, Tim McMahon said all this talk about Giannis to the Rockets. That's not happening. It's just not happening. And Shams is like, okay, because I think I'm thinking that the Rockets might be thinking, you know, we're going to get Fred VanVleet back, and that's going to be our – we're already paying him. That's going to be our trade deadline or past trade deadline acquisition. That's just fine. Plus, we really like what we got here, including Tari Eason. Despite the fact that Tari didn't sign the extension this offseason, here's Shams talking about the Rockets and the way they're viewing this trade deadline.
My understanding is this is a team that is still very confident in their young core. Alperen Sengun, Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith Jr., Reed Shepard. They want to give this group a runway for the next several years. These are all players in their early to mid-20s, and so they want to see these guys gradually get better and better. I expect that Rockets organization, they're always going to be active and engaged, but they want that young core to continue to grow together.
Yeah.
I don't know. Aaron Holiday finally got some minutes. He's been in the doghouse for whatever reason. He was on the floor. J.D. Davison is going up and down between G League and or D League or whatever it is now. Up and down. He was sent down. Now he's back up. He was back up last night. Got a couple of minutes. But, you know, point guard is the thing that is most needed. And are you going to get anybody? What are you going to have to get up to give up to get something, somebody better than Aaron Holiday?
You could give up Tari Eason if you wanted.
But they're not doing that.
They're not going to do it. You're not giving up Reed Shepard. You could give up Dorian Finney-Smith, but that's, you know, I don't see them doing that either. So I don't know. You probably have to be a Jayshon Tate or Aaron Holiday in a draft pick, something like that. You don't have a first this year. That may not matter. What you're going to get is a like player back, a guy who's more of a true ball handler. So you could give up Aaron Holiday.
But who wants, again, maybe who wants Aaron Holiday? What are you going to give?
You're getting back at the other team's Aaron Holiday.
Yeah.
You know, right. Who handles the ball better.
Exactly.
And that's a guy. Yes?
John, you talk to people within the Rockets. Now, maybe most people don't know, but there's a guy who goes by HP Basketball. Been covering basketball for a long time. He says
Hardwood Paroxysm
or something like that.
Yeah.
He says that they're kind of competing factions within the Rockets about how to handle what they're doing right now. Some would like to fast forward this thing and maybe be in. He's not ruling out a Giannis trade because he thinks there are some people inside the Rockets organization who would like to fast forward this thing and get going now and be a real title contender as opposed to building like we heard from Sean.
Well, I do know that the owner likes stars. And the owner is not someone who likes to wait for things. The owner likes, and now he's been very patient with this basketball team. They built it the right way. They built it through the draft. They made really good draft picks. He's listened to the front office telling him, you know, the way we're going to do it. And they've built every year. They've gotten better and better and better. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the owner didn't want to make a big trade go for it.
Yeah, his contention is it depends on who you're talking to. Like if you're talking to the coaching staff or someone else, it may be, hey, let's stick with the youth. Or if you're talking to a different part of the organization, they would love to get going.
However, I do think this. They've gone – I was with them when they went, man, they got us for 39 wins this year. If we hit 39 wins this year, it would be great. This offseason was like, we can win a championship. And they're probably looking at it going, we can't win a championship with this team as is right now.
Yeah, you could do so much damage. I don't think Tillman would just – power through the better wishes of the people he pays, like Ime and Rafael Stone. I don't think he would just say, just do what I say. May want that. He's not going to do something stupid.
No, trading
for Giannis would be stupid.
Well,
that would be so stupid because if you go through the scenarios of what Milwaukee would want to get him.
You got to break up the team.
It guts the team. You literally, your window went from this big to about 3 years.
Well, is it that big? That's the question. Is this core group actually, is it going to bring you into the precipice but never get there? Or will getting a Giannis, pairing him with Durant and whatever else is left here, is that a team that can win?
That's not a team that can win.
Okay.
Reed would be gone. At least Tari. Probably Şengün or Amen Thompson. What you're doing is, and the idea that we've got an answer on a team that's full of 22 and 23 year olds is outlandish. Like Amen Thompson's going to keep getting better. Alperen Şengün hasn't peaked at 23 or 22. His game is going to keep getting better. It'll get more refined. It may look different.
Have you seen his numbers though? Shooting numbers.
Did you see Olajuwon who didn't improve until his
30s? Yeah, right.
I mean, it's about refinement. It's about learning to play the game better. And I think it's ridiculous to take a talented young open window and literally slam it closed.
Barring major injury, will the Rockets' three best players, the young players, ever be better than the Thunder's three best players?
You know, I don't know. I have no idea. I really don't. Who are the Rockets' three best players?
I said young players. So you got
Amen
and Şengün, and who's your third? I don't even know who your third is.
That's what I'm saying. No, because Tari's going to leave after this year.
So I don't think so.
You think he'll take You think they'll pay him what he wants and he'll take the money?
No, I think that he's going to get a restricted free agent offer and they'll match. Yeah.
Well, somebody could poison them.
Yeah. Well, at 30 million. I think what if somebody gives
if somebody gives them at $28 million? Poisoned by like making it a $28 million offer.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by poison.
Yeah.
Are they going to sign that?
Is he at $28 million?
Maybe. Why? All it takes is one team to say we think we can build. I mean, Tari Eason is really talented. Mm-hmm. All you have to have is one team. Now that team would have to believe that Tari Eason plays all the games he's supposed to, other than when they have back to backs, because apparently he can't play in a back to back. So they would have to believe that he can play 70 plus games a year. That team, I would think, you know, and up to this point, he's not that guy. He's not that guy, but from a talent standpoint, yeah, he's $25 plus million a year.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And he
wants to go somewhere else and be a star.
Be a starter.
You would have to keep him against his will, which is called kidnapping.
Well,
or restricted free agency with a match.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. They want Tari to be part of it.
We all want Tari Eason to stay around.
I think this is a Kyle Tucker kind of deal.
I'm not sure Tari Eason wants to stay around.
This is a Kyle Tucker kind of thing. I'm taking that money. I'm going out there. I'm gonna see what I can get.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The restricted does help you.
He might end up with the Dodgers.
The restricted does help you, though.
Yeah. Yep.
Obviously, but it also, you know, if a team offers him more than you would like to pay him, that's going to be tough.
Yep.
That's going to be tough to hang on to.
All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. You listen to ESPN 97.5. We got a lot of stuff to do, including there's a new pitcher in town for the Houston Astros. Oh. Well, actually, yeah, we'll tell you who. We'll tell you. The Astros gave up a backup. Well, they gave up a minor league catcher, but they've got some. This is going to be fun now. This is going to be a fun year with Kyrie.
Why is it going to be fun?
It's going to be a fun year. That's all I'm saying.
We'll find out on the other side why it's fun.
Why it's fun.
Okay.
That's what we're going to find out on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now we're talking a little underdog.
Underdog fantasy is that's how you get ready for the big game. You start studying the game up because you say, you know what? Lance has been talking about this underdog fantasy, and I'm going to finally jump in. And what you do is you download the app, and then on your first deposit, you know, throw $50 in there, throw $100 in there. And use promo code Lance when you do it. Download the app, put $100 in, for example. Use promo code Lance. When you make your first $5 play, they are going to add $75 in bonus entries to your account. And here's how you use it. Go to the Pick'em and the picks, and what you're going to do is pick higher or lower on the statistics. Every player, you'll go to a player's name, and they'll have a lot of different statistics for them. You know, rushing yards, receptions, touchdown passes, interceptions, sacks. There's everything you can imagine, and a combination of stats. And then you simply pick higher or lower. You think it's going to go higher or lower. Analyze the game, make your decision about higher or lower for the stat. Then you pick two or players or more, or you can also pick teams to win, by the way. But you can do that, and the higher, you know, the more entries you put together on the entry, the more players you pick on the higher or lower, the higher your payout goes. And you can get all the way up to $5,000 is the limit of what you, I mean, I'm sorry, 5,000 times is the limit. So you could win 5,000 times a $10 entry. Do the math on that. That's $50,000. Now, that's going to be rare, but they have had some huge payouts before for people who have done their homework and made the right choices, and you could be that next person. It's completely legal here in the state of Texas, and it's real money, and you can collect your money when you're ready to collect it from Underdog Fantasy. That's not difficult at all. It's Underdog Fantasy. Make sure when you enter, you use promo code Lance.
For a great way to listen to ESPN 97.5 whenever and wherever you are, then download the ESPN Houston app. Just search ESPN Houston in your app store and download today. The ESPN Houston app is brought to you by Collector's Firearms and Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The Astros picked up Giants pitcher Kai Waiting. And he will be, it'll be interesting to see. I think they're going to put him in the bullpen, probably, more than likely. What is it?
Keep going.
What is wrong with you? Why can't you just...
Just keep going.
I mean...
Just keep going.
Why are you so upset they picked up?
No. No. I'm glad. Hey, the more arms, the better.
Yes. I mean, he's got like a Bugs Bunny kind of thing going on.
What do you mean?
Wait, his ball moves. It moves.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be cool. Apparently,
is he a Korean pitcher?
I don't know.
I couldn't tell by your accent.
I don't have an accent. I just said, I don't.
I couldn't tell.
Oh, if I said, Enrico Scarducci.
Yeah.
That would be fine.
Then I could tell.
Then you could tell, right? Yeah,
I said I couldn't tell by your accent.
Or.
That's not a Japanese accent.
Jaime Gonzalez, right? That'd be fine, right?
Yeah, if there was a Jaime Gonzalez.
Right, exactly. Exactly, right? That would be fine. Or, you know, Tommy O'Keefe. Yeah, they're right? That's fine.
Tommy O'Keefe, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be okay.
Yeah, that'd be
so
fine.
What is his nationality?
I don't.
That's all I was asking. I can't tell.
We got to find out. What his name is not something Wong, Concept Mayhem. Okay.
You probably shouldn't even look it up. Look at this.
Ting.
Here's
he's
the
Taiwanese.
Yeah.
He's from Taiwan.
Here's the chat. John is going down a very slippery slope right now.
I am not going down a slippery slope.
They're acknowledging it.
Kai Waiting is our new pitcher, and I can't be happier about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why can't I be happy about a great acquisition by the team for some minor league catcher? We got a guy who throws. Now, he struggled because early on because he didn't throw strikes.
Right.
And now he's throwing strikes, and he's a lot better. He's a good pitcher. I don't know why the Giants gave up on him. I'm not sure why the Giants did this.
Right.
And they apparently needed depth at catcher for some reason, which is more important than Kai. And you know what? God bless. God bless the Astros for seeing this. All right?
I really wonder what Wendy would say about this segment.
She'd just say, don't say, oh. That's probably what she would say because he's not Japanese.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what she would say. She'll be in the car in a little bit, so we'll have to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She listens. Is she here?
She's here.
Oh, she's here?
Yeah.
What's she doing here?
Melanie Lawson retired.
Oh, okay. I saw her just on TV just the other day.
Yeah. Melanie Lawson retired, so they had a party, and Wendy came.
I thought she flew in to be a mediator. Did you see? There's an alleged beef between two ABC 13 women.
No.
Well, they have positioned it as we always make fun of each other on air. I gotta find it. Was it I don't remember their names, but it was on the air, and one of the women said, "Ooh, you're looking a little ashy on your legs."
What?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Now they say, "Hey, we always cut up each other on the air," but it became a story, and I was wondering if Wendy came in to mediate. Since she probably hired both of those ladies.
It became a story how long ago?
In the last week or so.
Tense on air.
Exchange. But
exchange, yeah.
Viral ABC 13 clip has viewers demanding an apology.
It was between Alita Loresca.
How do people demand apologies who aren't the ones being talked
Samika
to?
Samika Knight. I know this for a fact. They are very good friends.
What came out of friends. It.
No, but, well, you owe these viewers an apology.
This is the quote from Loretta.
Some viewers saw this as bullying.
Well, this is
the
quote.
Can you believe this? Shut up, you dumb, dumb.
I saw you walking from the desk, girl. You need some lotion on your dry legs.
Damn.
Samika said, yeah, they're pretty ashy this morning. And that's what people are like, ooh, I can't believe she did that. But apparently they're friends.
They're good friends. Yes. I can tell. I know for a fact that those two are really good friends.
Glad we got that cleared up.
Yeah. They're. Hey, like, you can say that about me, Dale, except I'm really my
son. I don't know that you own lotion.
As
so.
Knight continued speaking, the cameraman
zoomed
began
in.
To pan down on her legs, and Knight gasped and quickly pushed back. Are you serious right now? Don't do that. Do not. They're really bad this morning. Now, that's who they should get an apology from.
Yeah, the cameraman.
I love that people who aren't involved in anything demand apologies.
Yeah.
Like, no one owes you anything. Just shut up, watch your show, buy the products that advertisers sell.
And that's
and
it.
Mind your business. Yeah. If Samika needs to throw hands, she will. Behind the scenes, she'll put hands on the other girl. You don't have to worry about it. It's not your business that Alita Loresca is either really good friends or she's troubling. Here's what I get right here. Troubling on-air exchange between Samika Knight, an award-winning black journalist, and Alita Loresco, a Filipino-American weather woman at ABC.
What does that have to do with one giving the other one the business? I mean, we can't have any fun anymore. Like, look at Lance. He's ashy.
Yeah, I am. I
now, if I call, what if I called Del? I called Del ashy, that would be a problem.
But you'd still do it.
No, because apparently, I mean, that's a thing. It's
yeah. Well, if you called me ashy,
like,
I would just
you think Kevin Durant, he doesn't use lotion, right? This is a problem for you. He doesn't get it. Get a tight cut.
It's not particularly a problem for me. I just take notice of it.
Well, he's not out there trying to be Instagrammable.
He don't care about that.
He's you not know, trying to be Instagrammable. He's trying to get buckets.
No, like you brought this up before, and I was like, wow, how things have changed. Because if a guy back in the day used any lotion at all, everybody would go,
what guy? You black guys?
No, any guy.
No, black. I don't know when's the last. I don't know, lotion or Vaseline. Things have changed since back then. But I think at most points, African-American men had been putting on things.
They have been for a while. I noticed that when I was in Green Bay, there was a lot of lotion going on, and I was like, wow, you guys
For my entire life.
Now, the white guys didn't do that.
Yeah, of course not.
Just the black guys.
You got to see my legs.
I'm all ashy.
I had to have the heater on in my hotel.
I had to go to a dermatologist yesterday to check something out of my legs.
I got an issue with my eyelid right now because of dryness.
The
heater was on in the room the entire time. The entire time, and I'm super. I finally put lotion on yesterday after my shower.
Wow.
Finally.
Moisturize. You guys don't moisturize?
No, and I should,
never.
But I don't. That's why that's why white people crack. We don't moisturize. My daughter has a skincare routine by the time she was 12, so she's going to be fine.
Well, yeah, women do that.
But no, that's why white people look older.
She's all lotion all the time. That's all she does.
The Marlboro man's face is cracked like leather. He died when he was like 57.
And then his grandson is in the Super Bowl. So that's a man's man. We don't put lotion on.
No.
Okay.
White girls always look prematurely older, too, because they sit in the sun.
No, not my wife. She's just,
I didn't
she's
say
just
Wendy,
dripping
but
with old lotions.
In general, they don't age as well.
You
in
can
general.
Speak to that. I
women,
won't say
white, white guys, too. White guys, too. That's just, we don't put
what
lotion on
Hispanic,
as much.
Hispanic women?
No, they, I mean, I guess it depends on if you spend all the time in the sun, but my mother-in-law and my wife don't.
Yeah.
So they've got good skin. Not everyone has good skin, but
the
Zerlines age rougher. That's just our people. We're German by nature and come from the farmlands.
Ich bin der von Klon und Unstein.
Does that sound like that's going to age gracefully? No.
No, it does not.
No, that
sounds it sounds very, very gruff and
abrasive.
Yeah, abrasive. Yeah.
Like sandpaper.
It doesn't sound like that. It's not a love language.
I'm going to play this again, and you know what it sounds like to me? That sounds like a sandpaper skin personified.
Yeah.
That is.
It's not a love language.
It really is.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
There's two languages that are not love languages.
It's not a love language.
Vietnamese and German.
Yeah.
Very guttural. Top, pop, pop, pop. Yeah. They hit hard.
Should I do my Vietnamese
impression? You should not. You should not.
No,
it's one of the more popular ones that I see on Twitter, though, where people of all ethnicities do the Vietnamese, the American Vietnamese accent.
Right, right.
I went to a Vietnamese mass one time. It was a three-hour mass downtown when I went to the church downtown, and it was a Vietnamese. So my kids were getting baptized and brought into the church.
No
What's
one.
It called? Not baptized. The other one. The second rite.
Confirmation?
Yeah, it was confirmation.
Okay.
And so it was Chelsea and Drake. And so it was years ago. And it was a three-hour mass. Was it midnight mass? No, it was a three-hour mass.
I don't remember that when I was confirmed.
Yeah, and it was a three-hour mass. And what's because ours was in Vietnamese, too. It was English and Vietnamese.
Ah.
Because we had a big Vietnamese. We had Vietnamese. It was downtown. So we had Vietnamese mass on Sundays at, like, you know, 1 o'clock or whatever. So they did both. They knocked it out at one time. So we heard it was English, and then half it was in Vietnamese.
Look, wow. I wouldn't mind whether it was in Vietnamese.
It was also 3 hours.
Or English, but with 3 hours, I'm picking one. Can I get either the English version or the Vietnamese version? Whatever one cuts this down to an hour and a half.
By the way,
I'm not sitting there for 3 hours.
You didn't mention. Did you mention that, yeah, they, Kai Wei Tang, they acquired him. Did you mention they cut JP France?
No.
To make room, right?
Yeah. Well, I remember when J6 was like a really big deal.
That's not a real nickname.
That kind of is.
It's not a real nickname.
Really is.
Don't just say that like that's a real nickname.
No, that's not a real nickname.
That's Art's nickname.
I mean,
nickname
if there's anybody that looked J6.
Who said that? That was Art.
That was Art's nickname for him.
Yeah, and Art's ugly to people.
Yeah.
But JP France cut. Like, it was just, JP France is a legitimate discussion point headed into last year.
Hasn't pissed in years.
And now he's gone. That tells you how bad the arm is, though, obviously.
All right, 7:31.
Wait, how long has it been since JP France pitched?
He has a year and a half. I mean, he got hurt.
Has it been that long?
I mean, you know, I think he had a couple of starts. Yeah.
He was 1-0 with a .225 last year. How are we letting that go?
In two appearances?
I mean, it doesn't matter.
What do you mean?
He had four innings. He struck out five. He had a 1-0 whip. How are we letting that walk? No, he pitched, in 23 is when he had the 24 game, Five games in 24 and then two games in 24.
Yeah. That's nice. I mean, he's literally
not as much as you
hasn't
like.
Pitched in 2 years.
And he doesn't make $18 million a year.
No. Time to talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. John Clay Wolf makes some money. You know why he makes some money? Because what a great, great, great business plan this guy has, okay? It's unbelievable how good it is. He's going to pay you more for your car, which means you're going to sell him your car. You're going to sell John Clay Wolf your car because he's going to give you more. It's a hunk of it's metal. What is it? Oh, well, it has sentimental. No, it doesn't have any sentimental value. It's a piece of metal. And oh, by the way, if it is a sentimental vehicle, let's say it's a classic, John Clay Wolf pays more and more for those. He doesn't care. He wants them. He collects them. And John Clay Wolf is going to give you the most for that collectible, okay? He loves those cars, and he ain't letting it slip through his hands. He ain't letting somebody else get it. So if you got he's got an entire website devoted just to classic cars. So here's the deal. Make sure that you go to GiveMeTheVin.com to sell your car because he's going to pay more. And you want more for your car. And so you'll pay less for the next one. That's what happens every single time. At GiveMeTheVin.com, that's GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, Kevin Durant got elbowed in the face yesterday. We ain't having that. We ain't doing that. He told him, watch your effing elbows. You see that? Yeah, we ain't doing that. Okay? Stop already. Sean Mannion got the OC job. For the Eagles, that's one of the worst jobs in football.
That's tough to say when you've got your hands on that many weapons.
We'll see if AJ's still going to be there at one next season. I'm not sure he is going to be.
Brown?
Yeah.
No, you still got Devontae Smith. You still got Dallas Goedert. You still got Saquon Barkley. You got Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and you also got
Lane Johnson comes back. Jordan Mailata.
It is a more pressure-packed job than a lot of head coaching jobs in the NFL.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's Philadelphia. It's always going to be pressure-packed.
Yeah, right. It's Philadelphia.
If you don't like that, go to, Western Michigan.
Well, okay.
Go to Central Missouri State.
I can make about as much money there. And
no, you can't.
Probably $3 million, right? You can make $3 or $4 million as the Western Michigan head coach if you win
you
some
can't.
Football games. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can.
No, you can't. That's not what they're making.
All right. I'm the Northwestern head coach. Yeah. I can do that. And there's no and it's not as ugly as those people in that trash.
You can't really
dirty ass trash.
You can't really compete for anything, but
you can't. Okay. Well, no, you can't.
If you don't want to win, that's fine. Well, it's just a job.
Well, I mean, you can win, although did you see Josh Pate? Northwestern got screwed with their schedule this year. The Big Ten schedule came out. Northwestern starts the Big Ten year at Indiana. Then they got Penn State. Then they at the finish at Ohio State, at Oregon, at Ohio State. Wow. And Illinois to finish up the season. I mean, talk about Northwestern. How are you going to win? Holy crap. While it's not a head coaching job, the pressure is probably greater than a lot of head coaching jobs in the NFL. Like Carolina, you ain't getting the kind of scrutiny that you're getting in Philadelphia. Not even close. Not even close. What did you – you came back today from Mobile. Tell us that the main points that you learned, the main stuff you learned.
Well, it's not very good. The offensive lines are limited, which I kind of already knew. You got a few centers. A few guards. A lot of the guys, the top guys, don't go there anymore. Like first round guys, there's not a lot of them that go to the Senior Bowl anymore. A lot of them will pull out of that game. You got some guys who really help themselves out. There's a wide receiver from John Carroll who would probably be a Texan since Nick Caserio went to John Carroll, except for the fact that they have a bunch of slot receivers. And this guy was a walk-on basketball player at LSU whose mom got sick, so he ended up going to John Carroll playing football. I don't know his whole story, but he had a great week, like a dominant week.
Really?
Yeah, small school.
Tall?
No, probably about
5'10". 5'10", played basketball at LSU?
Point guard.
Really?
Yeah, 5'10", 5'11". Tanner Koziel did a good job with Houston. He probably solidified, maybe improved his stock from University of Houston to tight end. He had a really good week. TCU players, Bud Clark, who I like a lot, the safety, had a really good week. He helped himself. Jacob Rodriguez, the linebacker from linebacker from Texas Tech. Malik Muhammad from Texas, cornerback. He helped himself. It was, the quarterbacks were just the quarterbacks. It was no big deal. Taylen Green is interesting. He's 6'6", 35-inch arms. His arms are longer than most offensive tackles.
The LSU tight end?
Taylen Green, the Arkansas quarterback.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm talking
and
about,
he was really good and then sometimes really bad.
Yeah.
And that's what you see at Arkansas,
too.
Right. But I think he's going to be the quarterback that a lot of people talk about because he's got, he can run. Even though his running numbers weren't as great as you would expect, because he can run. Like, he is an athlete. He can run. So I think a lot of people will be talking about him. They'll try to bring back memories of Randall Cunningham I think he's going to be the one that people – because it's not a fun quarterback draft. No one cares about Nussmeier anymore. It's Fernando Mendoza.
I saw him throwing.
He throws like Jay Cutler, He can throw the ball and it'll look really, really good, and then he just doesn't look like he cares sometimes. It's weird. It's weird watching him. Sawyer Robertson, the quarterback from Baylor, had some moments, and he can really spin it. Like, there's times where he can really throw it. He's just inconsistent. But the Arkansas quarterback's going to be the one that people try to, because everyone's going to look for who can we push up the board, like who can we talk about, and like, oh, this guy's 6'6", can run, can pass, let's get him. So he'll be the one that you hear a lot of people talking about, and maybe rightfully so if you're looking for a late third rounder. But I don't, in terms of narratives after that, I already know the draft's good at cornerback. Texans aren't going to draft early cornerback, so that's not going to be a thing. They've got a few guards that are okay. There's some big defensive linemen. Now, there's some help on the defensive line. So if you wanted to let some of those veterans walk who are on one-year deals and pick up a rookie defensive lineman, there's some good ones. And defensive tackles, Caleb Banks from Florida, who's played limited snaps over the last couple of years because of injury, he's 339 pounds and moves like he's about 280. Like, he is massive. He is a massive human. That's going to be scary. So he's somebody. Defensive tackles are going to start to – you're going to start to hear a lot about defensive tackles in this draft. And there's good edge rushers. It's but these guys didn't go. Most of them didn't go. Reuben Bain, Mesidor, they didn't go to the Senior Bowl, so I didn't get to see them rush. David Bailey pulled out, so he didn't go. So there's three of your top rushers didn't come to the Senior Bowl. They were all committed at one point, and they all bailed.
Mm-hmm. So not a great draft overall.
No.
Not so far?
Well, I mean, it's deep. It's deep, but it's not going to be a great draft. No, not at the high end. I mean, you got guys who are Arvell Reese is going to be my highest rated player, and that's because I'm projecting him because he can play edge, he can play linebacker. He has great speed. He's really long. He can rush. You know, it's kind of like the Micah Parsons things where you can move him from linebacker there, but he's 6'4". Like, he's kind of freaky. So I'm pushing his grade up, but primarily because I'm projecting him to get better and better and better and to be very versatile. There's some good safeties in this draft. Like, if you need a safety, the things that Texans need, it's not, you know, it's okay at running back. It's okay. There's depth at running back. Mike Washington from Arkansas is going to be a second day pick, probably second round. He's somebody that I wouldn't mind having for the Texans, but I don't think they'll draft running back in the second round. I could be wrong, but my guess is it would be guard, tight end, or defensive tackle is my guess. I think they're going to draft the interior, tight end, running back. Those are three big ones that I think they'll look at. And when I say interior, center or guard. So it's I came away from the Senior Bowl. You know, there's some people who I'm pushing my grade up on. Not a lot that I'm dropping my grade on, but it's just they don't have a lot of the hammers that are going to have the high impact in the first round. So I can't really say a lot about that.
Yeah. All right. We have a lot of draft talk, and you got the preeminent draft expert right here every morning on ESPN 97.5. So that's something that we can look forward to the entire offseason. Oh, right up until the draft. Where's the draft this year?
I think Pittsburgh.
Is it Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think this year's draft is in Pittsburgh.
Gone from Green Bay.
I think they want to get most places. We'll have it here in Houston eventually. If you get a new stadium, you can have a draft.
I mean, we'll have perfect weather for it. We should have it every year. It should be here every year.
The 26th NFL draft is going to be held in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
April 23rd through the 25th. A little bit earlier than usual. Just a shade earlier.
April 23rd through the 25th. Come. All right. We got a break. Champion Energy is what we're talking right now. You're looking for the best way to get that electricity to your home or your business. And listen, business, kind of a big deal. Because, I talk about this all the time, the bottom line. You want your business to make as much money as you possibly can. Have you looked at your electricity bill? Have you thought about maybe changing? Because I had a buddy who owns a business, and he changed, and holy crap, he said from one month to the other, it was ridiculous how much money he saved. And he just hadn't looked at it before, and when he did it, he was like so glad that he did it. He went to a champion. If you haven't looked at what you're paying right now and what you're – how much your rate is, look at Champion and see what they can do for you. Champion.energy/1560. Save money on your electric bill. I did it for years. Since 2007, I've been with them, and I love what they've done for me. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Going to the Cougs game tomorrow. Yeah.
Good.
11 o'clock game. It's going to be, I love that. I love that arena. I love the atmosphere. I don't think any team in this city has the kind of emotional pickup that the crowd gives this Cougars basketball team. It's tremendous. that home court advantage is tremendous. I think the best in the city. I think it's the best place to watch a game in this city. And I think it's and I think the fans are into it more. It's we are historically a reactionary fan base.
Yeah.
As opposed to proactive, you know, and this Cougar fan base is proactive.
Yeah.
They're screaming, you know, for the defense I think it's great. JT's going to go for the first time. He hasn't been there yet. And I think he's going to be like, wow, this is incredible. If you haven't been to a Coug game, you need to go, especially against a good team. Cincinnati gave fits earlier this year at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a good game. So this is the kind of game that you want to go. Iowa State.
This is where things can start to turn, and I don't mean in a bad way. It's where guys like Kingston Flemings and guys who haven't played as much, they get enough experience to where they kind of take the next step, or teams start to figure out who they are. And so it doesn't always happen, but for some teams it can kind of happen where, okay, we're going to lock in defensively, or, hey, we know who we've got a lot of confidence now. We really believe in ourselves. Maybe not with Houston, because I don't think they ever had to gain confidence. I don't think they ever had to realize they were good. There's not going to be that moment where this epiphany where everyone says, hey, we're for real. We're legit. We belong here. You don't really have that with Houston. I mean, they've been there, done that. So I don't know. That may not be a thing for the Houston Cougars. But I do think there's still some feeling out in terms of what the pecking order looks like between those three guards. I mean, we know that it's Flemings and I think Uzon, and then probably Sharp, because Sharp's not a creator. Sharp's a catch and shoot shooter. But what I really want to see is see them really start to really lock in defensively again. Really become that team that is a nightmare that, you know, you're hoping you get to 20 and a half. Yeah. I want to see that pop up again.
Yeah.
That was fun. It was ugly, but it was really fun.
Well,
like, I like that kind of that kind of ugly is great.
I think that the same goes for the Rockets. They were a team that was smothering defensively early on, and then that just went away. Although, you know, they are still one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. It's not as pronounced as it used to be. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with the Cougs. They need to get back to where who was it? It was Steve Alford who said they just want to make you want to quit.
Yeah.
They want to break your will, and they want to make you quit. And they did that. Holy crap, they did that against Arizona State and made Bobby Hurley.
Yeah.
Bobby Hurley said that. And he said, you know, they want to make you break, and they did that against Arizona State. It was 24-2 at one point. At the start of the game against Arizona State, it was like, holy crap, we don't want to be here. We don't want to be. And that's the kind of defensive effort that you're hoping for. We'll see tomorrow. And in that building, well, we want to talk about a tough place to play. But the Cougs are great on the road, and they're great at home. It's just this is just great. Is this as good as a team? I'm not sure if he's good.
No, they have probably a more dominant scorer, but is he consistent? Can he consistently impact the game? He can if they let him. But, I mean, LJ was, you know, they've had some different number one guys, and we talked about it early. It was going to be a matter of when were the veterans going to be okay with Kingston Flemings being the number one. Like, was that going to be okay?
It's okay.
A clear pecking order? I feel like it is. I feel like it is, and the coach has a lot to do with that one. Right now, I think you just need to get back on the boards and make things uncomfortable on the perimeter. Like, I don't know if this team's going to be – I don't know that they had that in them.
I don't think
this team can defend like some of the other teams.
I don't know what the number is, but it seems like every post game, it's Cenac on one side and Flemings on the other of coach. Those are the guys that are brought up. You know, Emmanuel Sharper have a big game, and he'll be brought up. But it seems like every game it's Cenac and Kingston Flemings, and he continues to say, you know, they're rookies and they're making mistakes and they're going to make mistakes. But he said nobody works harder than Chris and then Cenac, and he never has a bad day, and he loves to be coached up. That's the kind of guy that coach loves. even though he's a rookie, he makes those mistakes.
Is this right?
Hmm.
Hold on a second. This can't be right. The Cougars are 112th in rebounding? Is this right?
112th in the country in rebounding? The Cougs?
Yeah.
Really?
112th. Now, you know, I'd have to see how many possessions there are. That also has a lot to do with it.
How many
possessions. So, and they're going to make you go deeper in the clock, typically. So good defensive teams will not get as many rebound opportunities. But according to the stats, their opponents are 120 in total rebounds, 121st, 33.6 a game. The Cougs at 37.1 are 112th. In defense rebounds, the Cougs are 266th.
Really?
Offensive rebounds, 23rd. Free throw percentage, 17th.
That's not Coug-like.
Free throw attempts, 337th.
They don't get
how many teams do they? How many teams do they include in this?
A lot. Yeah, a lot.
3-point attempts, 73rd. That's high for them. And then 3-point percentage, 153rd. You know, these stats, you're including somewhere. Turnovers, 4th. Only 8.7 per game, they're 4th. And they're 23rd in terms of forcing turnovers. There's the big differential. And then defensively, they're 3rd in the nation in allowing points. They're 126 scoring. But once again, the scoring stuff is all, you know. You can score a bunch of points if you're just going to give up a bunch of points. Who cares? I'd rather worry about differential.
Yeah. Northern Iowa gives up 60 a game. Louisiana Tech gives up 61. The Cougs give up 62 a game. That's Coug basketball right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's fun. A lot of people still think this team has a chance. Boy, coming up, it is going to be fun. They've got Kansas. They got Iowa State, Kansas, and Arizona in about an 8-day spread. I got to look at the schedule, but it's they're all close together. There's a 3-game stretch that's going to be brutal and wonderful at the same time. I can't wait for that. All right, 757 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here with us, anything that you want to talk about, you're more than welcome. Yeah, Iowa State, February 16th, at Iowa State, February 16th.
Mm.
February 21st, Saturday, Arizona. That's going to be a nationally televised game on ABC. And then Monday, within eight days, they got Iowa State, Arizona, Kansas. Fun. We'll see what they're made of. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, come on in.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.